Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Nutty. Real name Antonio Rush. I got something I want to say this morning. It ain't going to be long, and I'll play a sermon behind it. But if anyone can hear me, hit the one button, let me know that y'all can hear me. Text me or something. Just this morning, I got a lot on my mind lately. A lot going on in my life, and this gun violence, it's getting too frequent. First of all, I'm gonna say thank God for waking us, allowing us to be here another day. I want God to just continue to pray over my family and everyone that's listening to my voice. Father God, I want you to just continue to pray for all the people that are going through tragedy right now and want sick and shit in. Just continue to wrap your arm around our family and their family and get them understanding. Father God, I know you're able. You're able. Father God, just steer me in the right way. And if I say something that offend somebody, just forgive me. I just want to speak from the heart this morning. Amen. As everyone know about the shoot in Texas yesterday with all the young innocent kids, as Saturday night, my family became one of the statistics, super gun violence. My first cousin, the baby of my mama, the baby of the grandkids, he got shot at a horse ride by some guys he didn't know that he was trying to defuse a situation, 26 years old. I wasn't as close to him as I was to the rest of the cousins because it's a 20-year difference in our ages. But I loved him. You know, he had his, he's been going through a lot all his life. My grandma raised him and stuff. But this gun violence is getting out of hand. And it's to the point where you hear about it, and it really don't affect you as much as it do when it's hit home. I got the call. I broke down and cried. First thing came to my mind was my mom, my grandma, my pawpaw, and all the people that was affected by it, my sisters, my whole family, because my mom, grandma, and papa raised them from a baby for 2 days old. But during this tragedy, families need to come together and put down all this anger, all this malice, all this hate. My head has been hurt, and I've been fighting with myself since Saturday night, dealing with this, trying to talk, trying to cope, trying to understand. It's getting worse. I pray. I talk to God. I don't question God anymore like I used to. But then I I'm trying to be strong, but at the same time weak because my flesh want to take over. The adversary been in my head telling me to do this and do that, but my heart telling me different, a few of my friends and family. And they all tell me just pay my respect and do what I can do, and that's what I'm trying to do. But me being the oldest of the grandkids and the oldest cousin, a lot, even my aunt and uncle lean towards me to make decisions that is hard for me to do. My mom, my grandma gone, my grandpa gone. And my uncle, he's out there right now. It's his baby boy, and his mindset is not right now. And he's leaning on towards me. I'm saying this to say this here. We human beings, I don't care white, black, whatever color, has got to get more back in the church and get more family oriented and stop holding on to grudges. Stop staying away from your folks because they did something to you 30 years ago, 20 years ago, yesterday. Because you never know. You never know that last smile, the last time you talked to him, the last words said, and he was just smiling. And I talked to him. He's never been disrespectful to me, even though I heard things in the street about things he was doing and saying, but he always respected me. And me looking at social media and all the people, that helped me a lot, too, because believe it or not, he touched a lot of people, and everyone said the same thing about it. All he wanted to do was smile and ride his horse and be humble. And say that day that he passed away, said that's all he was doing was riding his horse and smiling. And he actually said, let's shut this down before somebody get hurt. And he was the one wind up losing his life over nonsense. Don't know the fellas. I hadn't caught anybody yet, but my cousin lost his life trying to make peace or keep the peace. 10 years ago, I couldn't tell you I'd be talking like this. You know? I'd probably be feeling like the rest of my want revenge, but. Right now, I know God says vengeance is here, says the Lord, not mine. But I'm praying for my family and those in Texas and everyone that has been a victim of any kind of violence or taking loved one, taking away on the nonsense. I'm praying for the sick and the shedding. I'm saying this to say this because I opened the show this morning and I was going to put a sermon on. And it said, I started from the bottom now here. Well, I was at the bottom at one time, and I was a loose cannon. And God's plan, my wife, and the Bible, and going to church changed me. I'm not going to tell nobody that I'm fully changed, but I know he's working on me. And I think the Lord, but let me see it a different way. I think the people that surround and talk to me, the people that I can talk to, the people that give me understanding, because at one time in my life, I didn't have no understanding. So I just want everyone to just keep praying for everyone, not just my family, but everyone. Pray for this world, because I'm not 100% sure, but I'm feeling like we're in the last days with all the stuff coming up. They got this new disease coming out that monkey pops. It's something all the time. And me reading the Bible myself and some of the things that I read feel like it's me and the Bible they're talking about. And I believe it's the Bible is revealing something. And we need to wake up. We need to wake up. And I just want everyone to just think about what I've said. A lot of us don't think about it till it hit home. 6 years to the day of my cousin getting killed was 6 year anniversary of his and my papa dying the same day. May the 22nd. May the 10th, 4 years ago, my grandma left him. July the 6th, 2009, my mama left. all these people that surrounded me and him, that connected us, they're around, they raised him, all gone away. They're with the Lord. So he's with them right now, and that's how I feel. He's back with them, and they're taking care of him right now. Just pray, just continue to pray for me, to give me strength and give my family strength. And the Lord just help us. And I know I'm ranting, and I know I'm just talking, but I just had to get that off my heart because I've been hurt. And I want people just to understand it's time to cut out a lot of the mess, the hatred, the holding grudges. Brother D say you're supposed to forgive 7 times 7 a day. In a day, if a man do you wrong, he's supposed to forgive him. No matter 7 times 7. You don't supposed to lay down with malice on your heart. So we need to fix a lot of our problems with whoever it may be. As I'm off my soapbox now, I want to play this sermon and just continue to keep me in y'all prayer.
Everybody got a plight? Our European and our Asian brothers and sisters left there voluntarily to come here. So when I say that we started from the bottom, remember, I'm talking about our American experience. Because when you go back to your roots, you didn't start from the bottom. You started in the image of God. You started in the likeness of God. When I say we started from the bottom, I'm talking about when you arrived here to America, we were placed at the bottom. Brothers and sisters, when I consider the celebration of Black history, and I reflect on the accomplishments of our people, I can declare unto you without a shadow of doubt or hesitation the fact that the Lord has brought us a mighty long way. Again, I say, when you think about our history and when you think about all of our accomplishments, all of us have to acknowledge that the Lord has brought us from a mighty long way. I believe it was through many dangers, toils and snares that we have already come. The songwriter declared that it was God's grace that brought us safe thus far. And if we trust him and continue to stand on his word, we can rest assured that his grace will lead us on. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we have been resilient and resourceful even in the midst of pain and persecution. I'm telling you, we are a resilient people. We are a resourceful people. From the majesty of the motherland to the madness and the mayhem of the middle passage, the testimony that we all have as people of color in this nation we call America is that we found a way to thrive from the day we arrived. This is a Black history sermon, just in case you didn't know. I said, from the moment we arrived on the shores of this nation, we have found a way to thrive since the day we arrived. When you look at this context of this passage, when you look at the words in context, what you find is a group of people who have been delivered from slavery. It's all right if we go to social studies class. I said that this is a group of people who had been delivered from slavery, very similar to my ancestors and your ancestors who endured the most heinous treatment of humanity. What you see is a picture of survival even in the midst of racial discrimination. I need you to know that everything started out good because these were the descendants of Abraham that continued to be blessed through Joseph. I wish I had a Bible reader here. He was the fourth generation. Joseph was the son of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who carried the promise of Abraham. Well, by the time you get to Exodus chapter 1, somewhere there about verse number 8, read it when you get home. The Bible says that there arose a new king over Egypt. Don't lose me now. Exodus 1 and 8 says that a new king arose over Egypt. And the difference between this king and the previous king, the Bible says this Pharaoh didn't know Joseph. In other words, he didn't care about no promise. He didn't care about the God of Israel. He was not concerned about no covenant that God made with Abraham. The last king took care of God's people. But this new king wasn't studying nobody named Joseph. So when he rose up in chapter 1 of Exodus, he proceeded to take the lead, but he left out the Lord. Slow down, Pastor. They just woke up at 10 o'clock. I said, he took the lead, but he left out the Lord. See, please understand this. One day, and I'm still in Exodus chapter 1, verse number 9, Pharaoh looked around and he said to his people, he said, the children of Israel are more mightier than we. He said, they're inventing things. They're creating new ways to better themselves. And the point I got to make to you is that as a people, we were not always on the bottom. That was the shouting point right there. I said, as a people of African descent, you cannot let the Discovery Channel teach you your history. You ought to crack open a book every now and then. You did not start out swinging from trees. Talk to me here. You didn't start out half naked and can't speak good English. You didn't come from a people that didn't have no sense. No, we were intelligent people. We were creative people. Keep sitting there here. The world would not be what it is had it not been for our contribution. I'm going to need everybody in here with some color. Even if you're light-skinned, you better set something up in here today. Because we are the reason why this world is what it is today. Come here. The pyramids, tell your neighbor, that's us. Mathematics, that's us. The horseshoe, the folding bed, the biscuit cutter, the ironing board, the mop, the dustpan, the pressure cooker, the bicycle frame, the blood plasma, the printing press, keep sitting there here, the window cleaner, the pencil sharpener, the elevator, the traffic signal, the hairbrush, the heating furnace, the folding chair, the clothes dryer, the baby carriage, the peanut butter, the collard greens, the pig feet, the hog mouth, the oxtails, the chitlins, the syrup sandwiches, the ketchup sandwiches, the sugar water, the typewriter, the cell phone, the helicopter, the roller coaster, the doorknob, the doorstopper. Tell your neighbor, that's us. Even Elmo from Sesame Street, pray for him. That's us. Y'all sit down, ain't fool. We have not always been at the bottom. Hallelujah. Stop letting folk tell you your history. You can go to certain parts of South Africa and you would think you in downtown Atlanta. But the only Africa you see is folks swinging from trees half naked with a bone in their nose. Because that's what the media wants you to see. I believe you would have higher self-esteem if you knew where you came from. You wouldn't have such low self-esteem. You wouldn't be trying to look like other folk. I wish I had some help. You wouldn't be spending money trying to look like somebody. If you really knew what Nefertiti looked like, I wish I had some help in here. If you really knew what Cleopatra looked like, it don't look like Elizabeth Taylor. It looks like a soul sister. So when they found themselves enslaved It was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm just about there, who sent Moses to lead them to the promised land. Now, to be fair, in order for us to acknowledge everybody's plight, you got to be fair about this thing. There are some non-Africans who endured some persecution too. Understand, many of our brothers and sisters that left from Europe and left from Asia, they left their various countries because of corrupt government. They came over here with nothing. They came with the hope of better days. But the difference between the motherland and the other land is that we were taken from our homes and they forced us to sing God Bless America. Everybody got a play? Our European and our Asian brothers and sisters left there voluntarily to come here. So when I say that we started from the bottom, remember, I'm talking about our American experience. Because when you go back to your roots, you didn't start from the bottom. You started in the image of God. You started in the likeness of God. When I say we started from the bottom, I'm talking about when you arrived here to America, we were placed at the bottom of society. We were counted as less than a human being. But how many of y'all know the same God that did it for Israel? The same God that did it for Moses and God's people. If he did it before, there's an ancestor of yours who can witness that he did it again. It was that same God that delivered us. And so by the time you get to Numbers chapter 12, which is what I've been trying to get to, the Lord had already delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. Moses had lifted up that rod. You was in Sunday school. You remember how it went. Moses lifted up that rod. God turned that Red Sea into capital circle. The children of Israel was able to walk through on dry ground. My pastor said it was so dry that they didn't even get no mud between their toes. That's just how awesome God is. And he fixed it to where Pharaoh had no choice but to watch his army get swallowed up. All of that happened by the time you get to Numbers chapter 12. But the place where I want to park and preach for a while is at this place we call here. Started from the bottom. Now we here. That's what young folk been saying for the last year and a half. Started from the bottom. Now we here. And the question I want to ask you is, where are you exactly? Ask the folk on your row, where are you? What have you accomplished? What is it about your surroundings that make you think you've arrived? Started from the bottom, now you, where exactly? Is it that you got money now? That's why you think you're here? You can go to any school you want now. They used to didn't let you into Florida State. Now you can go there for them too. Is that why you think you're here? You got voting rights now, so you think that that's where here is? We're getting record deals and shoe contracts and we're sports stars now. We got Maybachs and mansions. We got Bentleys and bling. Is that what you think here is? Do you believe that material things somehow translate into the fact that you made it? I submit that we are nowhere close to where we were, but as a people, we are far from where we need to be. Look around at where you are. If you ask me exactly where here is, I would have to be honest and say we are in a place of wandering. Oh, we started from the bottom. The Lord brought us out from the bottom. But yet, when I look at where we should be, it appears that like the children of Israel, we still wandering. Oh, I'm still in the Bible. See, The children of Israel had been delivered from Pharaoh, but they had not yet reached the promised land. And the reason that they did not reach it is because they were wandering in the wilderness 40 years. Don't miss what I'm trying to say here, because I hear what some of you are thinking. You're trying to modernize this, and so you think in 2014, and so, well, they didn't have cars, so of course it took 40 years. They had to walk, so of course it took 40 years. Can I tell you that that journey shouldn't have taken more than a week? Geographically, Google map it, it shouldn't have took but a week on foot. And yet it took them 40 years to make a five-day journey. Why it took so long, Pastor? Bible says the reason it took 40 years is because they grumbled and they complained when they should have trusted God. Hallelujah. They looked around. They were free. And then when they were making their way to the promised land, the place that God put them in the meantime, it didn't look like what they wanted. So they start grumbling. I know these were colored people because they mumble and they grumble and they complain the whole way. It is so strange to me how we say we want better. We say we want good things. We say we want nice things. But we go kicking and screaming. Oh, Lord, how many rehearsals we got to have? And then when you do it, you be about to shout because you know that you did a good job. We grumble. We complain about every little thing. But then, oh, this show is a nice church we got. Oh, I love my church. But some of y'all fuss the whole time. You know I'm right about it. Negroes don't do nothing but fuss the whole way, kicking and screaming. Don't want to do nothing different. Don't want to change. Don't want to adjust. Don't want to make room for nobody else. But then when everything goes well, look what we did. They grumbled and they complained. And they said, Moses, you brought us out here to die. I mean, we could have stayed in Egypt. At least we ate good. You have to read this story on your own. He said, they said, we ate good. Pharaoh wasn't that bad. At least we knew what was going to happen from day to day. Moses, you brought us out here to die. I'm telling you, for those of you that are in leadership, those of you that, you know, have positions on your job out there in the world, or even if you're trying to lead a family, what I'm trying to tell you is that the painful part of leadership is that when you try to bring folk out, you always got some folk that would rather stay bound. You got a vision, you got ideas, you see that things can get better, but you got complacent people around you that would rather just stay where you are. And I know what the history books told you, I know what you see on the BET special, but let me help you understand. Everybody did not support the movement. I ain't talking about white folk, I'm talking about colored folk. Everybody that is your color did not support the movement. Everybody didn't support the abolitionists. Everybody wasn't cheering for Harriet Tubman. No, there were some folks who wanted her to calm down and keep quiet. You ever had some folk around you that would just try to kill your fire, try to kill your spirit? Come on, no, now, we don't need to do that. Don't be starting no trouble now. Let's just go ahead and do what the folk tell us to do now. You know them folk ain't going to like that, what you saying there now. And so they mumbled against the leaders because they didn't want to do no better. God said, how long do I have to put up with this mumbling and complaining? He said, as truly as I live, you tell them folk that none of them are going to see the promised land. I'm going to make them wander around for 40 years. I'm going to make them get lost from here to Walmart, a place that they should be able to find. I'm going to make them get lost. It's going to take them 40 years. And the reason it's going to take 40 years is because 40 years is a generation. He said, I'm going to let a whole generation die so that your children will see it, but you going to miss it. When you complain about what you have, at that point God says, I'm going to take what you have and give it to somebody else. Y'all are not feeling me here. I know you think we got it good nowadays, but I'm trying to tell you, we have not arrived. It is true that we started from the bottom in America, but the place that you call here is not where God wants us to be. We shouldn't be wandering around in the same space. What have we been doing since Martin Luther King died? From 68 to 2008, before Obama, what were we doing? Wandering, playing around. If you think those old people died just so you could have some rims, you missed the point. Talk to me here. If you think Sojourner Truth and Fannie Lou Hamer and Harriet Tubman and Madam C.J. Walker, if you think that those women struggle for you to be acting like a housewife of Atlanta and a hip-hop chick, if you think they died for that, sister, you have missed the boat. If you think Medgar Evers was shot down in his front yard in front of his wife and children just for you to have a reality show, so you can have 1 million followers, where are you going that anybody should follow you? Your ratchet random thoughts. Why should anybody follow you? Where are you going? See how quiet it get right up in there? I ain't scared of none of y'all, so you may as well go ahead and get on board with this, because here is not the place where we ought to want to be. Secretly, good to see you, Curtis. Secretly, here is the place where you still ain't got no rights. I'm finna pull the covers off. Here is the place where injustice is still going on. When you can be killed on the highway just for playing loud music. Where the murder charge is very clear to everybody that got eyes and ears, and you can still get off for that. When you can gun down a boy in his own neighborhood with just Skittles and a iced tea, you want to be here. Here ain't what you want. These laws that protect child murderers, that's happening here. The laws that slowly take away your vote, down here in Florida, in these counties where they know church folk are going to galvanize and go to the polls right after they hear a sermon like this, and they cut out Sunday voting, they know what they're doing. That's happening here. A government that can send you to war and then act like they don't know you when you get back. That's not Vietnam, that's Vietnam. You want to know where here is? Here is the place where girls still struggle to find their worth. Pray with me, church. Here is the place where brothers still struggle to find their identity. Here is the place where they will lift you up if you say you're gay, but shut you down if you say you love God. He brought us out of slavery, and now we're in Sodom and Gomorrah. Tweet that. They wandered around 40 years because they complained about the blessings that God had given them. Brothers and sisters, we don't see how God has blessed us. We don't see how fortunate we are, and we need to take advantage of our opportunities. We forget about those who died for us to be here. How dare you complain when you could be living on the streets? Talk to me here. How dare you have an attitude when somebody out there is worse off than you are? How dare you be wretched when your grandmama is looking down from heaven right now? How dare you be a thug when your ancestors died for you to be free? How dare you not go to class? How dare you get high and drunk all day? How dare you lay up in the house and not work? How dare you sit back and collect a check? How dare you not read? How dare you not speak good English? How dare you sag your pants? I wish I had some help in here. How dare you show all your goodies? You need to wake up and smell the coffee. Stop wandering and start working. How dare you make children and not take care of them? Somebody ought to help this preacher here. How dare you look like a model and your children look like a mess? How dare you not fix them breakfast? How dare you not clean your house? How dare you cuss your children out like they asked to be here? You gotta give them something better than what you have. Just about there. Give me 5 more minutes. Sit down. Listen. I hope that what happened to Israel don't have to happen to us. In other words, I hope God don't have to kill off a whole generation just so our kids can have the promise. I hope God don't have to cut us off in order to replace us with somebody who's going to be obedient. Because the Lord is seeking a generation that will worship him, not just with our lips, but with our lifestyle. I don't know about y'all, but I want to see the promise that God has for me. Everybody walk around, and you know what, and this is going to be my last chance to say this here. You got these folks in these housing developments, in these projects, in these impoverished neighborhoods, standing on the corner talking about, this my block. Negro, you don't own nothing over there. That's why when they get ready to tear down your little project, they tear it down because you don't own anything. How you gonna be talking about being a boss and you don't own nothing? I tell you, if you a boss or not, you a boss if you can put somebody on. You a boss if you can give somebody a job. You a boss if your recommendation has validity. You a boss if your signature has weight. You a boss if you can open doors for somebody. How you gonna be a boss and you don't own nothing? You putting your purses on Facebook talking about, I'm boss. Your broke self ain't no boss. You didn't pay your cable bill to get that purse. You a boss because you got a pair of J's on your feet? That's what you think boss is? Boss is the white man that made the deal with Michael Jordan to use his likeness on the sneakers. And even though Michael came out pretty good, boss is the white man that signs his check. I don't want to miss the promised land for being disobedient. I'm not going to be like Moses, because Moses didn't see the promised land either. God let him look over and peer at it, let him look at it, let him glance at it, but he was not able to walk in because he let them folk get him so mad that he struck the rock when God told him to speak to the rock. Y'all ain't finna have me die, get my pressure all up, and kill me from anger issues. No. I'm going to roll with whoever is rolling with God. The rest of y'all can stay in the gutter if you want to. If you like it here, if you like where your life is right now, you are welcome to it. But for those of us who want better, tell your neighbor, let's get it. We ready to go in now. For those of y'all that are complacent, then you stay right there and do what you've been doing. But for those of us who want more, for those of us who know this ain't it right here, for those of us that know that there is not where I want to be, slap 3 people and tell them, let's get it. I'm shutting down now. If you want to open your own business, let's get it. If you want your own school, let's get it. If you want to change some laws, let's get it. If you want to create some jobs, if you want to eradicate homelessness, if you want to build up some families, if you want to make the church into a better place, if you want to keep men out of jail, if you want to help these babies read and write, slap 3 people and tell them, let's get it, let's get it, let's get it. Yes. If you want to raise the standards, if you're tired of the status quo, if you're tired of mediocre people, if you're tired of these lame statuses, if you're tired of stand your ground, if you're tired of your brothers dying, if you're tired of your sisters being mistreated, if you're tired of church as usual, if you're tired of Sunday morning Christianity, you ought to find somebody, grab them by the hands, and tell them these words. If you want to get there, you got to leave here. If you want better, you got to do better. We've started from the bottom, but God is not finished. We've started in struggle, but we got the victory. Because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus died to bring you up from the bottom. I was in the pit of sin on my way to hell. But he reached way down, picked me up from the bottom. He died for your sin and mine. They put him down in a borrowed tomb. Can y'all tell me what he did? Stayed in the grave all day Friday, all Friday nights, all day Saturday, all Saturday nights. Y'all all right with me, but I...
If anyone have any remarks or anything they want to say, they can hit the one button at this time. I just want to thank God for allowing me another day, and thank God's plan for giving me some understanding. Hold on. Go ahead, Brother D. You open.
He does. Good morning, my brother. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Word from the Lord said early Sunday morning. He got up. I just want to thank Brother Nutty for doing what he's doing. Thank God for Jesus. I don't know what's the problem with our speakers. I know it's got to be something that's to keep Brother Eric, Reverend Henry away. We have to try to keep them lifted up in prayer. Ask the Lord to that he continue to step in and rest, rule, and abide over their lives, that whatever the situation may be, that we know God is able to fix it, and will allow them to come back to the service and continue to give us the word of God. I was able to listen. The truck went down yesterday, so I was able to speak this morning, but it had a lot of noise all last week. So I wasn't able to come in like I normally do, but I was able to listen. And I tell you, when you can't start your day off with a word from the Lord, I don't have to be right, sister and brother, but I just see that you're starting off wrong already. When you start your day off talking to the Lord Almighty, it just seems like no matter what go wrong, it ends up right. Because truly, God is truly, truly, he's still in charge. We was blessed yesterday, Brother Nutty, and then we was blessed again this morning. I'm going to tell you quickly, and I get out of here. You know, normally when we finish our service on a Tuesday, we start the race talk, and it gets kind of wild sometimes. Man, we were so blessed last night that right after the service went off, shortly after, Cowboy. And do you know, for probably a good 2 hours, I helped court Brother Mike and Brother Tim, and I helped court with them guys about the God we serve. Ain't God good? I read somewhere in the Word, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw man unto me. And that's the first thing that crossed my mind yesterday when they started questioning me about the Lord Almighty, about this God. I said, because it's just something about my God. He just never wrong. He's never lied. He can't lie. I found myself this morning, when you first put the sermon on, I didn't do it accidentally. I purposely clicked the sermon in to the morning show. I heard Brother Lee say somebody's hooping, and the show went quiet. Now, they know him there. I said, you know, you were here, hang it up, get him out of here. The show went quiet. That lets me know that they're listening. Brother Dog told me last night we got 92 people's on listening. Man, all I'm trying to get the world to understand and to see, Brother Nutty, and I heard you say this earlier about a change. You know what the Bible says? The Bible gave us some parables, didn't it? The Bible said there would be mother against daughter, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. He said you won't know the change of the time. You won't be able to tell one from summer and summer from winter. And he said when you see these things come to pass, he didn't say the end was near. He said, but just know. He didn't say that was the end. He said, just know that the end is near. Anyone that's not willing to accept the fact that we're living in the last and evil days has just got rose-colored glasses on. But when you're willing to sit and listen, if you're willing to do that, why you wouldn't be willing to change your life? When you got a way changer, a way maker, a man that's just waiting for you to just turn from your wicked, sinful ways, that wants to help you. Oh, I thank God for Jesus right now. I want to tell Brother Nutty in my brother's absence and Brother Eric and Brother Henry absence, man, I love you, and I truly appreciate what you're doing to keep the service going. I enjoy the service. I truly, truly enjoy the service. So as you do what you can to keep God's plan afloat, just know that King Jesus is listening, and he see your work. Oh, he see your work. Never get disgusted. I know you get tired sometimes, and it can be a load sometimes, but just don't get, you know, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I get weary in the work, but not of the work. So you can't get disgusted in what you're doing. You might get disgusted how you're going by doing it, but don't let it get you down in what you're doing, because you know what you're doing is for the Almighty. And only what we do for God will last. So I want to tell you again, my brother, I appreciate you even through recording. You get a chance to still hear the word of God. Keep your hand in God's hand, my brother. We'll be praying for you and your family. I know it's a hard time when we lose a loved one, but we have to give them over to the Lord and know that God is still in charge. Oh, he's in charge. Amen. Amen.
Would there be anyone else? All right. I just thank you. Thank you for just being here listening. And just say, keep me in the prayer. To be saying, Father God, I want to thank you for another day, another day's journey. I want you to continue blessing this God's plan. Continue giving wisdom and knowledge and understanding to each and every one that's going through. Father God, just say, thank you again. Thank you. Thank you for what you put me through. You say you are putting me through nothing I can't bear. So, Father God, again, just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.